That's the main thoughts I have while lying in bed. This is Real Alternative Radio, Planet 93.9, with Dave and Darren in the morning. And from the River City's Reader, their movie critic and editor there at the River City's Reader, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Schultz joining us live. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you guys.
There I am.
One of these days, I'm going to figure out.
Okay, we're getting there.
He's here.
It's getting quicker and quicker, at least.
Mike, welcome back
to the
show.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thank
you. You have seen a lot of movies.
I did. I saw five. I was very proud of myself. Wow. I got them all out of the way. I compartmentalized like crazy because I was also back in Chicagoland visiting my mom for her 82nd birthday. So we all had family fun and like dinners with the siblings and the niece and nephew and still got five movies in. Pretty, not bad.
I was concerned that we were going to send you to see only one movie today, but there's quite a few opening
up that are
not Ghostbusters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So busy boy.
Tackle all the movies that you saw.
Okay.
Let's get started with Arthur the King.
Yeah, that's the one.
Mark and a dog and a canoe.
The one I was dreading.
Yeah.
For good reason?
For good reason, yeah. It really is. It's just an incredibly long Mountain Dew commercial with Benji in it. You know, that's it. It's like half of the movie is... It's Mark Wahlberg and his team are adventurers in the Dominican Republic. And then the dog like starts tagging along about halfway through the movie. It is, I mean, and I got nothing against a nice sentimental dog movie.
Yeah.
You know, that's all right. What makes it kind of unbearable is that Mark Wahlberg can't do sincerity. It's beyond his grasp. He's quite funny as a comic actor, I think. And he can do kind of like brash, hyperactive stuff like Boogie Nights and, you know, The Departed, you know. But he's just not... touching in any way. And so every time he gets like misty-eyed over this poor sick puppy, I instantly go into dry-eyed mode. I'm like, I don't believe a thing you're saying. It's not working for me, you know? And there's a lot of sentiment with the dog. Like the whole last 20 minutes is the dog going to live? But it's all just Mark Wahlberg like weeping over this dog. And I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
So it was way more obnoxious than it needed to be.
I don't care to be manipulated like that, too. I'm not a fan.
I don't cry at dog movies, really, ever.
Oh, I mean, you know? I'll cry at a dog movie, but, like, it just seems like they're going out of their way to push that button.
I don't know that I'm interested in that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also weird because, I mean, he's so obsessed with the dog. He comes home from being in the Dominican Republic for weeks, and he's got a five-year-old daughter who's cuter than the dog, and he completely blows off hugging her, kissing the kid. He's just like, get my dog to the hospital. And she's like, Dad, hi.
You know, wow. So it's like, come on. I'm here too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was irritating.
Love Lies Bleeding. You said this is one of the weirder movies you've seen
in a really weird movie. Yeah. It's this one is about a gym manager played by Kristen Stewart who falls in love with a female bodybuilder who's training to go to Vegas. It's all set in New Mexico. And she's training to go to Vegas for a big competition. And Kristen Stewart's dad is a gangster played by Ed Harris. And there's a murder. And so it's all very noir. It's like 40s noir. And then like about 40 minutes before the end of the movie, it starts turning into a comedy that it was not earlier.
Really?
And so, where it's like, it turns into one slapstick scenario after another, kind of like the Coen brothers' Blood Simple, but funnier. And you're like, where is this coming from? You know? So tonally, it was just a mess. And it gets objectively silly in terms of, she has to like cover up dead bodies and she has to like, you know, and going through all these kind of slapstick machinations. And Ed Harris has the world's worst wig I've ever seen in my life. And so that's, Ed Harris with like a 3-foot ponytail is inherently hysterical. And so it starts out really kind of dark and nasty and then it just gets goofy.
So it's two movies in one?
Kind of. And they don't mesh at all. It was really strange. I didn't hate it, but wow, I don't know what I saw.
One Life was the movie with Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Indeed, yes.
And?
It's good. It's good. It's solid. He plays a guy who in World War II got a whole bunch, 669 children out of Prague and sent them up in foster homes in London. And if he hadn't done that, they most certainly would have died in the Holocaust.
Absolutely, they
would have.
Right.
And so half of it is set in the 30s, where Johnny Flynn plays the character, and the other half's in the 80s with Anthony Hopkins. It is solid, middlebrow British entertainment. It doesn't have a surprise in it. Yep. You know, it's handsomely done. The pace is gentle. It couldn't ruffle any feathers at all. Yeah. But Anthony Hopkins is so great, you don't even care. And it also has really good, it's got Helena Bonham Carter, who's strong, and Jonathan Pryce is great. So it's, yeah, it's exactly solid. What you think it's going to be. It's solid. Yeah.
The American Society of Magical Negroes.
Okay. I dug this. This is getting really crummy reviews, and I don't quite know why. I found it incredibly clever. It is about, it's kind of like this Harry Potter-esque society of black people whose whole purpose is to make whites less uncomfortable. And so David Alan Grier plays like one of the headmasters, I guess, of this society. Uh-huh. And he gets Justice Smith to look over this guy who's really stressed because they know that every time white people get stressed, one of us dies all the time. And so it's all about
this.
Yeah. And so it's all about this kid who has to like give his white superior at his software company. He just make him calm down and get his promotion and get the girl that he likes, even though the girl is someone that Justice Smith also likes. And so he's basically has to not fall in love with this girl he's falling in love with because I have to let my client get her instead.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was sharper satire than American Fiction. I really did. Yeah. I thought it was super smart, and I haven't laughed like that in a good 2 years. Maybe since Mitchell's Versus the Machines.
Oh, wow.
Where, I mean, like, every scene was funny. Even the rom-com stuff. And it turns into a rom-com, basically. Even they're going through the motions of that genre are hilarious. And it ended with a punchline so great, I wrote about this, that half our audience, myself included, applauded. And the other two people liked it, too. Which was nice. It was a blast. I've rarely
this
had
this sounds
much
like
fun.
This is going to end up being on your list.
It could be list material. Yeah. It's really sharp. There was nothing I didn't like about it. Really funny and really under the radar.
And
worth
yet,
catching.
As much as you enjoyed that film, you really liked Snack Shack.
I liked Snack Shack even more.
Wow.
Snack Shack was
even more.
Great. I really did. We talked about this last week. I mean, because the poster, it looks like it's going to be 80s teen comedy parody, basically. You know, it's and it is about two 14-year-old kids in Nebraska who rent out the local concession stand at the public pool.
We're going to be businessmen.
At age 14.
Yes.
And no one has a problem with it. they get the lease, and they're incredibly crude. Every other word out of the kid who was in the Fablemans, Gabriel LaBelle plays one of the guys.
Yeah.
Every other word is profane. I mean, it's just like it's stunning profanity. It's like Glengarry Glen Ross all in this one little kid. And they're like yelling at the kids, the like 5-year-olds who come up asking for a candy bar, and they're like, get the F out of here.
Yeah,
it's like, no parents have a problem with this. So like half of it is that kind of slapstick. And then you kind of realize, unlike Love Lies Bleeding, which just turns into a comedy, this kind of very gently turns into a coming of age dramedy with like actual tragedy in it and like actual stakes and growing up that feels honestly earned. And it got me. It was really strong. It was very much like Adventureland, which is this movie with Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart from a while ago, and Dazed and Confused. It's got a little of that element to it. It was much more serious by the end than I expected, and I was deeply moved by the end. The two guys are really, really good together. Their parents have depths. The girlfriend they both fall in love with is awfully good.
So not just silly.
It was great. No, not at all. But you laugh your butt off for like half of it. And then you start going, oh, I actually care about these people. How did that happen? I
mean, Snack Shack of
Snack
all things.
Shack.
Snack Shack.
Wow.
It was tremendous. It opens with a great joke because the guys get in trouble for ditching a field trip to go to Iowa.
Nice.
They're like in so much trouble. What are you doing in Iowa? It was great.
This sounds like it's going to make a list too.
Man, this one will be there. I guarantee it. It's my favorite thing of the year so far. I liked it better than Dune. It's so great.
Wow. Opening this weekend.
Yeah.
Let's get started with Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here's the premise. It's Halloween 1977. And Jack Delroy, who's a Johnny Carson rival, is the host of his own talk show called Night Owls. A year on from the tragic death of his wife, ratings have plummeted and sponsors are getting nervous. Desperate to turn his fortunes around, Jack pulls out all the stops for his annual Halloween special, booking a psychic, a professional skeptic, a parapsychologist, and a young girl who is allegedly possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
Late Night with the Devil.
I can't wait. The lead is a great character actor, David Dasmalchian, who you see all the time. He's like in Dark Knight, and he's in Prisoners and a whole bunch of... He was in Dune, the first Dune, too. He's a great character actor who's never had a lead, I don't think,
is he that
ever.
Guy from Barry?
Possibly.
Hank?
I don't remember. No.
That's a different guy.
No, he looks a little like him, but okay. No. Anyway, but tremendous. And it's like 90 minutes, and the preview is incredibly creepy. And it's got like raves from Stephen King and Kevin Smith. I mean, like, okay.
All right.
Bring it on.
Late Night with the Devil.
Sure.
And that opens where?
Everywhere. Yeah.
It'll everywhere. Be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Also, of course, opening the big movie is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the sequel to the Ghostbusters reboot that came out a couple years ago that you did not care for.
No, not
is that
fan.
The Paul Rudd one?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the Spengler family returns to where it all started.
And that's basically the idea now that the Ghostbusters are a family. Yeah or no?
Yeah. There's like a new set of Ghostbusters, two of which are teen kids, and then their mom
The teen kids are Harold Ramis' grandkids, right?
Yes, right. And the mom is his daughter. Yes.
They go to the New York City firehouse to team up with the original Ghostbusters, who've developed a top-secret research lab to take busting ghosts to the next level.
There you
gotcha.
Go.
But when the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an army of ghosts that casts a death chill upon the city... Ghostbusters, new and old, must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. I hate to say this, but the trailers got me wanting to watch the movie.
Okay, yeah.
And I have not seen...
You didn't see Afterlife, did you?
Last Ghostbusters movie I saw was Ghostbusters 2 in the theater. And that was... You want to talk about terrible movies. Ghostbusters 2 is one of the all-time worst sequels.
I don't hate it. I don't hate
really?
It.
Really?
I don't hate it at all.
Wow. So
really
you're
don't.
The one.
I'm the one.
This you mo- like yeah. Ghostbusters 2, but
I
not
did.
The last Ghostbusters.
This yeah. movie and yeah. another one will be opening the 61 drive-in, not this weekend, but next.
Is it Afterlife they're showing, or is it the original 84 Ghostbusters?
No, I
couldn't remember.
So.
I did see that they were showing two of them, but...
So.
It's got it's packed. It's got a lot of people in it.
Right.
You got all the original ones and all the new ones, except for the, you know, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy ones that we pretend never happened.
Maybe they show up in a...
It is the new one and then Afterlife.
Okay.
All right. So that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Because I never saw Afterlife. You're saying I may not.
No, I mean, you might really like it. A lot of people liked it. I just didn't. I've already got my ticket for it today, though, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
By the way, I went and saw Dune Part 2 over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Good. Yeah.
A little long.
Yeah. Yeah. A little repetitive.
And a lot of people are jumping on Christopher Walken's performance.
I understand why.
Yeah.
Because he is just Christopher Walken in it. There's no there's no pretending otherwise. That's all he's doing. But I thought it worked. He's supposed to be a little eccentric and weird. No, it worked. It's Chris Walken for you.
Are there other movies opening
up? Yeah, we've got a Sydney Sweeney horror movie called Immaculate.
Oh, right. Okay, so Immaculate is another Sydney Sweeney movie.
Boy,
an American nun embarks on a new journey when she joins a remote convent in the Italian countryside. However, her warm welcome quickly turns into a living nightmare when she discovers her new home harbors a sinister secret and unspeakable horrors. I've seen this movie. This is a classic horror movie from like the 40s.
I think it's a remake. I think it is. I'm not positive on that, but...
She goes to the convent, and it's like up in the mountains, and...
Yeah.
What is that movie called? It's not called Immaculate. It's called something else.
I don't remember, but I'm almost positive you're right.
Either they're ripping that movie off, or this is a remake.
Or an homage.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but... Sydney Sweeney's fun. And again, 90 minutes, I think. So I could knock that and the Devil movie off in a good 3 hours.
Are you putting butts in the seat when you have Sydney Sweeney, but she's a nun?
I think so, because you're kind of waiting for her to show her nasty side.
Okay.
You know,
right.
It's like,
that makes...
she ain't going to be innocent the whole time, folks. There's no way.
She'll
have to take a bath at some point.
Okay.
So.
All right, this is what I'm wondering. And that has to be it, right?
Yes, there is a movie opening on starting streaming on Netflix either today or tomorrow called Shirley, with Regina King playing the first woman to run for the Democratic seat for president.
Oh, cool!
And the first black congresswoman ever. Yeah, we love Regina King. So yeah, So I got four, I think, this weekend, which is a lighter load than last time.
All right. Well, then off you go.
Off I go.
Mike
well
Schultz done. From the River Cities Reader. You read his reviews in the pages of the River Cities Reader and online at rcreader.com. Mike, thanks for joining
us. Thank you, guys.